Hosea 6 tonight. Let's turn in our Bibles, Hosea chapter 6, as we're walking through the minor prophets chronologically. And this is the fourth of those books as they were given. And of course, Hosea, the key word of Hosea, as we've seen, is the word return or turn unto the Lord. And that actually is in our passage here in chapter 6. But the whole book, as you've seen, is a warning of the coming judgment of God, which was fulfilled in the captivities. But God continued to reach out to and warn his children. And here we have a small kind of mini revival. But unfortunately, it didn't take. So here in Hosea 6, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as the morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets, I've slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen an horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he hath set an harvest for thee, when I return to the captivity of my people." So let us return unto the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your precious and powerful word. Pray you'll use it in our hearts tonight to teach us, Lord, to grow us, to convict us if we need it, to comfort. Whatever the needs might be, the Holy Spirit knows them. And may we open our hearts and allow you to meet those needs and to change us to work. Lord, we believe by faith that your word is powerful and trust it tonight to work miracles that we might leave changed. And may Jesus Christ, our Savior, be magnified in this service. We pray this in his wonderful name. Amen. Let us return. You know, that is always the beginning of a revival in our hearts. It always starts with us. If we're not close to God, it's not because he moved. Amen. It's because we moved away from him. And he's always waiting for us to return. This, again, is the theme of Hosea. Go to chapter 12 and I'll show you this. Verse 6. Hosea 12:6, the Bible says, "Therefore turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment and wait on thy God continually." Go to chapter 14, verse 1. "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." Hosea, being used of God as one of his prophets, to cry unto his people and say, "Return unto the Lord." Typically, this is needed when we've drifted, when we've backslidden. And sometimes it's needed when we've drifted to the point of needing chastisement from the Lord. And that's what happened here. He says there in verse 1 of chapter 6, or Israel is saying, "He hath torn and he will heal. He hath smitten and he will bind us up." God is a loving father. He cares for his children. And just as a earthly father cares for his children, and that care includes often chastisement, it's the same with our Lord. Amen. Sometimes we just need the rod. And Israel had been receiving the rod, and they were about to receive an even bigger rod through the captivities. And so they're recognizing, at least on a small scale, God has been punishing us. God has been chastising us for our disobedience. And I need to come back to him. If you go to Psalm 32, we'll see where David did the same thing after his sin with Bathsheba. Psalm 32, verse 5, one of the often referred to as the penitential psalms. There's five of them, and this one is one of the most beautiful, where David recognized his sin, his wickedness, after being called out by Nathan. And look what he says here in Psalm 32, verse 5. "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. This is always where it begins, is acknowledging our sin, acknowledging our wickedness. As we all know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 55, please, where the Bible very clearly teaches that God is always waiting for his children to return. Maybe you've drifted yourself. Maybe God is crying out to you and saying, return, return unto me. And notice here in Isaiah 55, I love this passage. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let him return. If you're still alive, it's not too late. Amen. Because the ultimate chastisement for a Christian is for him to just take you home early because you won't listen. If you're still alive, you can still return unto the Lord. And when that happens, go back to our passage, Hosea 6. What happens? We need to return. And look what it says. After 2 days, he will revive us. That's why I mentioned this is like a mini revival. They recognize that if we'll just come back to God, he will revive our faith. If we as Christians, when we drift, and if we'll just come back to God, he will revive us. Revival isn't about unsaved people getting saved. Now, it happens when revival happens. Revival is about God's people getting revived, getting right with God. And of course, when they get right with God, they witness like they should, and Christian or unsaved people get saved. But this is true revival, is God's people coming back to the Lord, getting right with God like they should. And as he says in Psalm 85:6, wilt thou not revive us again? Which is one of the hymns that we sing. Revive us again. God is always willing to revive us if we will return unto him. And he says, after 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Jesus Christ came to give us eternal life. Amen. And once we receive it, we still have a free will. And we can still drift, we can still backslide, and God always is there saying, return, return. If you will return, I will revive you. Verse 3 of our passage, then shall we know if we follow to know the Lord. When God's people get right and return unto the Lord, and revival begins in their hearts, do you know what else happens? They follow on to know the Lord. This book becomes very important to them. Amen? They want to know more about Jesus. They want to know more about the Lord. You cannot separate revival from the Word of God. Impossible. The Word of God is always involved in God's people being revived. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 11? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Well, where do we do that? In the Word. There's no other place to learn of Jesus. Go to Colossians 1:10, if you would, where the Bible teaches that this cycle, if you will, Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, it must continue in our Christian lives of growing in the Word of the Lord and then getting more right with God and being more revived. It never ends, by the way, because you're not like Jesus yet. None of us are. We still sin. We still make mistakes. We still are not exactly like Jesus, which means we still always need more revival. But notice here, Colossians 1, actually start in verse 9. It says, for the which cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, do you see what happens here? It starts in verse 9, being filled with the knowledge of his will. Well, we only find that in the Word of God. And as we are, look what happens. We begin to walk more worthy of our profession, become more fruitful, and then what? Increase in the knowledge of God. And as we increase in the knowledge of God more, we grow more, we become more fruitful, and so forth. It never ends. This is what God wants for every Christian and what God wants from his children. They said, if we'll follow on to know the Lord, if we'll follow on to be closer to God, if we'll follow on to be in his word and to know him and to know his will. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may, what? Grow thereby. Never stop growing. Amen? If you ever stop growing, that's exactly where the devil wants you. Because you are only going to go backward. But we're to be constantly growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. So what a great reminder tonight that we need to return unto the Lord. He will revive us if we'll follow on to know the Lord. And then on down to verse 6 of our passage, Hosea 6:6, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Where our heart is much more important to the Lord than the outward works that we do. Now, we're here to serve him. Don't misunderstand. We're here to glorify him. We're here to please him. But if our hearts aren't right, all of those things are an absolute waste of time. And that's the bonfire he talks about in 1 Corinthians 3, the wood, hay, stubble. If we're serving the Lord, but our hearts are wrong with God, we're accomplishing absolutely nothing. God wants our hearts above all else. And, you know, when you have a revival, this is exactly what happens, is God's people, their hearts get right with God. And we all know what he says in the old. Well, let's look at it. 1 Samuel 15:22. But most of you are familiar with this, where God makes it very clear that obedience and the state of our heart are far more important than our outward works. Notice 1 Samuel 15:22. This is where Saul was caught out by Samuel for his disobedience. And then, of course, tried to blame it on the people and so forth. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Because Saul tried to make an excuse, say, well, yeah, we preserved all these animals and people as a sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel said, listen, I'd rather have obedience. God says, I'd rather have obedience than sacrifice. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, give me lots of sacrifices. The Bible says, this is the love of God, 1 John 5:3, that we keep his commandments. Obedience is what God is looking for. And God is looking for our hearts. While you're in 1 Samuel, go to the next chapter. This is where God used Samuel to choose David from all of his brothers. And everybody was shocked that God chose the shortest and the ruddiest of all the brothers. Because God didn't care how tall or good looking he was, did he? But look what he says in 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God knows our hearts. He knows where they are. And God is constantly saying to his children, I want you to return. I want you to be right with me. I want your heart to be right with me. And if you will return, you know what I'll do for you? I'll revive you. I'll revive your faith. I'll revive your Christian walk. I mean, didn't Jesus say, without me, you can do nothing in John 15:5? I'll revive you if you will continue to seek to know me through your word. And I'm going to be caring more about the heart than the outward. And that's why he says in verse 6, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You can come to the temple, Israel, and just keep making sacrifices, but if your heart isn't right, absolute waste of time. I want the knowledge of God, verse 6, Hebrews or Hosea 6, more than burnt offerings. God wants us to be growing in our knowledge of Him and obeying His commands, that our hearts would be right with Him more than outward works. Now, we're going to do outward works if we're right with God. Don't misunderstand me. But our motive needs to be, I love God, and I want to please God, and I want to be closer to God. And so, there might be Christians here tonight that God is saying, return. Return, and I'll revive you. Return and get to know me better in my word. Because I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I desire knowledge of myself more than burnt offerings. And so just a tiny little mini revival from Israel didn't last. Where they said, we need to return. We need to come back to God because judgment's coming. Hosea keeps telling us about all this captivity, all these judgments that are going to fall on us. We need to return to the Lord. And if we do, He'll revive us. And God says, if you'll come back, I will revive you. If you'll keep growing in the knowledge of me. If you'll keep obeying my commands and seeking to get closer to me and learn more about me. But otherwise, you're accomplishing nothing. So we, like Israel, need to constantly say, let us return unto the Lord. Amen. Let us return unto the Lord. Let's pray.